Our scripture today is going to come from Luke chapter 24, verses 33 through 35. It says, "That very hour they got up, returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them gathered together, who said, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then they began to describe what had happened on the road and how he being Jesus, was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." Church, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you so much for welcoming us here, because God, we know that you are here. Lord, your presence is with us. We are not in the midst of good philosophy or just good idea. We are in the midst of the living God who created this world, who loves us, who died to rescue and save us. And so, Lord, I pray that throughout this time as I preach, that you would guide me, that you would lead me, that your Spirit would preach a second sermon to those in this room. Lord, make me obedient to follow your leading. If you take me somewhere other than what I was planning, then God, I want to be obedient to follow you. And Lord Jesus, I pray, God, as I preach this, Lord, of all the people in this room, I know that I have got to be the one who is held most accountable. And Lord, I pray that I'm the biggest learner in here as we go through this. God, just would I be a doer of this as well? And I pray, lead us. We trust you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, well, welcome everybody. It's good to see you all. My name's Logan Smith, for those of you all who do not know me. Youth pastor here at Hope Church. And Jeff, our lead pastor this morning, he is in Campbellsville. He is at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. They have just built a new sanctuary, so they invited him to come be a part of the dedication commissioning service for that. And so that's where he is. Pleasant Hill is also the church that Dustin Webb, who was leading our middle schoolers for a couple years, he is getting married there in just a few months, so we are excited for that. We get just connections we have at that church. And so so Jeff asked me to come and preach this morning. I'm excited to get to preach today, and I'll be real honest with you, one of the reasons why I was excited to preach is because I haven't gotten to use the pulpit yet, and I feel bona fide now. This is awesome. And so this year, it actually marks a pretty big milestone for me, actually. This January marked 10 years of me being a pastor here at Hope Church, which is crazy to think about. You know, I start to think, it's not really been that long, and then I see, like, former students having kids, and, you know, I wake up and stuff hurts because it hurts, and I'm like, it's been 10 years. So, just 10 amazing, beautiful years that I've gotten to be here, just the blessing that this church has been to me and my family, I can't even begin to explain or to express fully. But in 10 years of being a youth pastor, one of the things I've done is I've played a lot of games, okay? So, youth kids, y'all know, we play games about every week. We use it as teaching illustrations. And so as I was preparing for this morning, I kept thinking in my head, like, I need to find a game for this service. I was like, it's Sunday morning, not doing a game. And then I was like, you know what? Let's do a game. That'd be fun. Are y'all okay to play a game? Is that okay with you guys? All right, I promise you don't have to run. You ain't going to get sweaty. You just stay right there. You're good, all right? But this game is going to be simple. And it's called This or That. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give two different things, and you're just going to choose one that, you know, better describes you. So I'll, like, for example, we'll say, raise your hand for Pepsi or wave for Coke. All right, so hands up for Pepsi, wave for Coke. What do we got? All my Coke people, there you go. If you rose your hand for Pepsi, you're wrong, just saying. All right, so there you go. That's the game. That's all we're going to do. So we're just going to go through a list of these things. All right, so Marvel or Star Wars? Okay. Come on. All right. Vanessa, I'm with you, okay? It's Star Wars all the way. All right. Write with the pen or write with the pencil? Okay. All right. We got some pens over here, all right? Day at the beach or day hiking out in the woods? I knew that was coming. So I'd much rather be hiking, not going to lie. Beach just gets boring. I mean, it's like, hey, look, here's sand over here. And look, there's more sand. Cool. All right. Summer or winter? Figured. Okay. For a dessert, would you rather have cake or cookies? Right, we're fairly even on that one, okay? McDonald's or Wendy's? McDonald's or Wendy's? He said, I don't know, but I guarantee the Frosty does. So there you go, all right? I don't know who said that. Good for you. Come on, I applaud you on that. Good job. That was awesome. I don't know where I'm at anymore. That was just that. Okay, next one. Would you rather read a book or watch a movie? Okay, you got movies in here, all right? All right, you're going shopping. You going to Walmart or you going to Target? Target all the way, y'all. Come on, Target all the way. Let's see, would you rather stay at a five-star hotel or eat at a five-star restaurant? See, I'm going hotel, y'all. I mean, come on. You're slept in a nasty hotel? I'm going hotel, all right? I can still get good food at Wendy's. I you know what I mean? Like, okay, anyway. Chinese food or Mexican food? Y'all, we're in Lawrenceburg. Of course it's Mexican food, all right? Let's see, would you rather ride a roller coaster or a water slide? See, there's some people in here who are looking at me like, if I ride either, I'm dead. So, all right, just a couple more. If you're going for like a day out, do you want to go to the aquarium or are you going to the zoo? See, I'm a zoo all the way for me. I got to see them lions. Them things are cool. All right, you watching basketball or you watching football? That's pretty even. I think we got more basketball over here. All right, last one. My students are going to love this one. We wearing Chacos or we wearing Crocs? See, some of y'all are like, I don't even know what Chacos are. They kind of look like modern-day Jesus sandals, and Crocs look like, I mean, look, all I'm saying is the tan lines on both that I see at camp are pretty amazing, okay? When you see a Croc tan line, that is awesome, man. Looks like they got some weird sickness going on in their feet. There's just a bunch of dots everywhere. All right. Well, good job, everybody. Give yourselves a round of applause. Good job. All right. Hope that was fun for you guys. Maybe you got to know a little people around you better. We're going to come back to that and why we played that here shortly. But for now, let's just jump into this passage here in Luke chapter 24. So quick recap, okay? So last week, Jeff was here in Luke 24. This is the Emmaus Road. Okay, so what has happened is Jesus Christ, he has been crucified, he has risen from the dead, the women have already come to the tomb, they have reported it to the 11 apostles and some of the other disciples, but now you've got two other disciples of Jesus. They're not part of the 11, but they are disciples. They are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Now, if you're here last week, who remembers how long of a walk that is? 7 miles. Good job. Y'all paid attention. Look at y'all. I'm proud of you. All right. And so on their way to Emmaus, Jesus shows up and he asks them what's been going on. Remember, Jesus is disguised to them, right? Like he's got the Clark Kent comb over in the glasses. They don't recognize him, which, by the way, is the single worst disguise in the history of comic books. But they don't recognize him. And so he's walking with them. He explains the scriptures as they're going, showing how it all pointed to his death and to his resurrection. The men invite Jesus to stay with them at the place they're staying. And when they're eating, Jesus breaks the bread and all of a sudden he's revealed to them, right? Like the glasses come off and out comes the curly Q. You got Superman, right? Jesus is there. They recognize him and then he just disappears. Because that's what Jesus does. He just disappears, right? And so then we get here to verse 33, where it says that very hour, the moment that Jesus leaves, it says that very hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. Again, how many miles is that? 7. So again, a 14-mile trek all in all. And so they're going back to Emmaus to talk to the apostles. So like, why is it important to do this? Like, why do they immediately turn around? What is the purpose of them going back? Well, verse 35 tells us. It says they begin to describe what had happened on the road, how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. They make the trek back because they needed to tell other people about what they had just witnessed. Right? Like they had to tell the 11 apostles that they have seen the risen Jesus. It was worth the 7-mile trek back. And so that is where we left off last week and where we are picking up today. Okay? So why are we picking up here today? We've already kind of hit that. Why are we picking back up here today? Okay? It's because when you look closely, at the resurrection Jesus and all the accounts of people seeing the resurrected Jesus, you see that there is a pattern here that these two disciples are a part of. Okay, they're part of a pattern. So what do I mean? Let's look at a few scriptures to show us. First, Matthew 28, verse 8. It says, so departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they being the women who had come to the tomb, they ran to tell his disciples the news. John chapter 20, verse 18. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them what he had said to her. Luke chapter 24, verses 9 through 10, earlier in this chapter that we're in right now. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. And then later, after Luke, after the events of Luke, in the book of Acts, chapter 9, we read of Paul and his Damascus Road experience of Jesus appearing in a blinding light. And after Paul is blinded, Saul at the time, after he is blinded and gets his sight recovered, it says in Acts 9:20, immediately he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. He is the Son of God. So there's a very clear pattern here that the disciples on the Emmaus Road are a part of, and that is this. When people see the risen, resurrected Jesus, their first response is to go tell people. That's the first thing they do, right? It says immediately, that very hour, that is their automatic first response, right? What do the women do when they see Jesus? They go tell. What do the disciples do when they see Jesus? They go tell. What does Paul do when he sees Jesus? He goes and he tells. That's the pattern, okay? When people see the risen, resurrected Jesus, their first response is to go and tell people what they have seen, what they've witnessed, okay? And so this should be the expected pattern, right? Like, I mean, how many of us, like, when something awesome happens to you, whether that be in your family, in your job, or just, you know, like a hobby or something, like just this amazing thing that's happened to you, one of the first things we typically do is we go to Facebook or to Twitter or to Instagram to share it with people, right? Like, how many times on your feeds do you see, like, man, this happened today, I'm so excited, this happened today, I'm so excited. Like, why do we do that? So other people can share in our joy, right? Like we're excited. This is something that's awesome. We're excited about this. We want other people to hear about it and share in our joy about what has been going on. And so when you think about it, like, of course this is going to be the response of the people. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have Instagram. Praise God. They had their legs and they had their mouths. And so they went to go share people. It's what should be the response. As a matter of fact, it's what Jesus expected of them. Because just a few verses later, Jesus says, not only have I expected this of you, now I'm requiring you to go do this. I am sending you to go do this. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, otherwise known as the Great Commission. Jesus came near and he said to them, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Why? Because he's resurrected. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So again, clear pattern. When people see the risen Jesus, their first response is to go and tell people, and they are expected and sent by Jesus to go do this. You see that? See the pattern? Okay, so what does this have to do with us today? The answer is simple. If you are a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your first response ought to be to go tell people. As a matter of fact, not only should that be your first response, Jesus has expected of you and has sent you to do so. If you are a witness of the resurrection, now there, that's where some of y'all might just be kind of staring at me and be like, what do you mean if I'm a witness of the resurrection? Right, it's 2024. The resurrection happened 2,000 years ago. All right, like, yeah, I may be a Christian, and yeah, I believe this stuff happened, but like, I'm not a witness to the resurrection. Like, that the apostles were the witnesses. Like, those are the witnesses to the resurrection, right? Like, I'm just a Christian, I'm just a believer in the resurrection. Let me tell you something. If that's your thought process this morning, Can I tell you, Scripture strongly disagrees with you. Strongly disagrees with you. Because according to Scripture, if you are a follower of Christ Jesus, you are a direct witness to his physical resurrection. Where do we see that? How in the world could we possibly be considered to be witnesses of his resurrection? Well, let's look. John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but look, has passed from death to life. You see that? We pass from death to life. You know what another word for that is? Resurrection. Look at another one. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Raised with Christ. You know what another word for that is? Resurrection. And it didn't say I was raised apart from Christ. I was raised with him. Right? Like I'm raised with him in his resurrection. Okay? And then another one, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his spirit who lives in you. Do you see this? The same power that rose Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives in me and you. It's the same resurrection. And it says, look, you have been raised already spiritually in your heart and soul, but one day you will be physically raised up out of the dirt into new life. But until then, you already have been raised. And therefore, as someone who has been raised, you are a witness to the resurrection of Jesus. You've crossed over from death to life. You have been raised with Jesus. The same power that rose him is the same power that raised you. So you are a witness to the resurrection of Jesus. Like, look, guys, I was not there 2,000 years ago. But in October of 2011, when I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ on the corner of Silver Lake Boulevard and Equestrian Way in Frankfort, Kentucky, I raised from death to life, and I became a walking signpost that Jesus has risen from the dead. Yes. Right? If you have surrendered your life to Jesus in this room, you are a witness to the physical resurrection of Christ Jesus. Which brings me back to my main point. If you are a witness to the resurrection of Christ Jesus, you better believe that you are called and sent by God to go and tell people, I have seen the risen Jesus. You're sent. Guys, here at Hope Church, we have two models for kingdom living. We go through these all the time with you guys. We got the Big Five and we got the Hope Arrow. And last week when we went through the Emmaus Road, Jeff really, he hit on just about every part of the Hope Arrow. Have spiritual conversations, open up the scriptures and learn Jesus, pray and listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, eat or engage with people. But the arrow again is what? You're a sent person. You've got to live as a sent person. That's where we ended, all right? So like, are you living like a sent person? Like as you live your daily life, like when you go to work, when you go to the store, when you go to the gym, when you go to your school, when you go to get gas, when you go anywhere, like does your life reflect that you have seen the risen Jesus? Are you having conversations with people that says, I have seen the risen Jesus? Like does your life reflect that? Now look, again, we've gone through the Hope Arrow a million times. We have hit this point of being sent a million times. So you might be thinking, I've heard this a million times. Why we gotta talk about it again? Like I said, I've been here for 10 years. And the reason why I'm bringing it up again is pretty simple. It's because right now, when I look at the world around me and I look at the Church of Jesus Christ, and I'm just gonna be real, especially here in America, and especially here in Bible Belt America, all right? I'm convinced And no matter how many times you are told that you're sent, we ain't living like we're sent. I'm convinced of that. We're not. Listen, at the beginning of this service, we played our this or that game, right? Okay, and we went through all, a lot of different things that we have different opinions on. Not big deal stuff, just small little things. We get Coke or Pepsi, Star Wars or Marvel, you know, day at the beach, day out hiking, no big deal. Easy things we can agree, disagree on, right? The problem, though, is that in my 10 years of being a pastor, what I've seen is that sharing Jesus regularly in our daily lives is just as much an agree-to-disagree issue as Pepsi or Coke. Living like we have seen the resurrected Jesus is just as much a negotiable for us as Star Wars and Marvel. Let me tell you something this morning. This is not negotiable. This is not an agree-to-disagree issue. It's not. We are talking about being a witness to the resurrected Jesus. I mean, guys, I hear the excuses all the time. I don't want to make the conversation awkward. Man, I don't want to step on someone's toes or make them frustrated with me. I'm afraid they're going to come back to me with something that I don't have an answer for, so I'd rather just keep quiet. Or even worse than that, I've heard this. I've physically heard this. Isn't that the job of the pastor? No, it's the job of the witnesses of Jesus. That's you. Listen, I've heard it. This is not an agree to disagree issue. There is nothing about the gospel of Jesus Christ or our calling to share the gospel as witnesses of the resurrection that is negotiable. It's not. It is not an agree to disagree issue. Why? Why can't we agree to disagree on this? Look at John chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe, listen to this, is already condemned. Because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. Church, we've got to remember this. We say this a lot, but we've got to remember this. I think we forget it. God is not up there in heaven just waiting for people to die before he decides if he's going to send them to hell or not. Scripture says if you're not a believer in Jesus, you are already condemned, which means hell is not a future happening. It's a present reality for those who do not know Jesus. So let's think about that for a minute. Your coworker that you know doesn't know Jesus, that you've had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to share the gospel with, but you haven't, hell is their reality. Your family member that you know does not know Jesus, but you have had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to share with them, their reality is hell right now. Not later, right now. Are you really going to look at me and tell me, well, I don't want to make the conversation awkward? Are you really going to look at me and say, well, I'm just afraid of how they're going to respond? Listen, there's way too much at stake for you to think of this as an agree to disagree issue. There are people every day who are already dead and condemned, who need the gospel of Jesus. And if you have witnessed the resurrection, you've been sent to them. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to pull people out of it, to pull people out of the condemnation they're already in. How can you sit on that news? We cannot sit on this good news. Jesus has died. He has risen. There is a way out. We have got to share. This is not an agree-to-disagree issue. Look at John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Look, Jesus did not say that he is a way. He did not say he is a truth. He did not say he is a life. He said, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. There is no life apart from Jesus. Because listen, we are living very much in what is called a post-truth world. And a post-truth world is this idea, this idealism that, okay, you can have your truth while I have my truth. They're both equally valid, even if they blatantly contradict each other. They're both equally valid and equally true. We can agree, disagree. Now listen, I have unfortunately, again, I've been here 10 years now, okay? And in 10 years, I have seen this post-truth idealism creep its way into the church. Because I hear all the time, well, at least they're spiritual. At least they're going to church. Man, at least they're listening to Caleb in the car. At least they're religious. Church, there's not more than one way to Jesus. There's one way to the Father. And that way is not through being spiritual, is not through being religious, is not through having a Jesus bumper sticker, it's not through you doing better, it's not through you going to church, it's not through you singing, it's not even through you reading your Bible. It's through surrender to the resurrected Jesus. Period. That's it. One way, one truth, one life, Jesus Christ. If you are treating I'm a sent person as an agree to disagree issue, you are complicit in the post-truth idealism that is infiltrating our world. This is not agree to disagree. One more scripture, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Guys, do you see why this is not an agree to disagree issue? Do you see why being sent is not a negotiable thing? There is one way. There's one name under heaven by which we must be saved. It is the name of Jesus. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. It is the power of God unto salvation. We cannot compromise. We cannot agree to disagree. We cannot see your personal role as a negotiable thing for you. There is way too much at stake, guys. You're sent. And then one last scripture before we come to a close. Peter and John, they're on trial in front of the Sanhedrin for sharing the gospel. And at their trial, Peter says this, I love this. For we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Can you echo that? Are you unable to stop speaking about this? Because look, I know what the topic of conversation has been this week. Cal and Mark Pope. Let's get out of the way, right? That's been the topic of conversation. Yes, I have absolutely engaged in that topic of conversation, right? Still waiting for the day where the reparand turns into the Vatican and sends out that blue smoke at the top, right? We got a new Pope in town, okay? So, but listen, that pales in comparison to the glory of the risen Jesus. That's like, yeah, I'm a Kentucky fan, but guys, that's a game. It just is. It's a game. Jesus is life. There is no life apart from Jesus. Like, are you unable to speak about, like, to not speak about this, right? Like, it's literally like, I can't help it. It just comes out because he's that good. He's that good. Like, is that you? Do you echo that? And some of y'all in here, this might be an agree-disagree issue because maybe you think you don't have a story worth telling. But this is nowhere in my notes. I'm just going with it, all right? You might think in here you don't have a story worth telling. You might hear a story, and Tyra, I'm going to put you on the spot. I hope it's okay. Tyra's got an amazing, incredible story of just growing up with people with that just rape and drugs and just horrors that you and I can't imagine. And you might be thinking, well, that's not my story. I was raised in the church and I've been faithful the whole time. Listen, I don't care what your story is. Scripture says your story is death to life. What's better than that? Doesn't matter how you got there. The fact is you got there. Jesus took you there. Death to to life. You have been resurrected with Jesus. Like, where? What other story are you going to tell? That's awesome. This is what we're called to tell, guys. You're expected to tell this. There are people who are condemned right now. Hell is their reality. You can't afford to sit on this good news. We can't, guys. We are sent. We are sent by Jesus. As the band makes their way up here, I'm going to give an invitation and a challenge. First and foremost, the invitation, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you've got to understand you're already condemned. I can't beat around the bush with it. I can't agree or disagree with you on this. You're already condemned. Scripture says you're an enemy of God, hostile towards Him. And there is only one way to be brought out of your condemnation, and that is through the shed blood of Christ Jesus and His resurrection. Now, you may be in here, you might hear that, and you might think, well, Logan, that sounds unfair to me. If salvation is really that important, if what you're talking about is really that important, then why would he not make a bunch of ways? It seems really unfair to me that he would only make one way. Can I respond to that real quick? You're right. It is unfair. But it's not unfair that he only made one way. It's unfair they made a way in the first place. Because the fact of the matter is enemies of God who are hostile towards him, you don't deserve a way. I don't deserve a way, but God made a way. That's what's not fair. And praise God, God's not fair. Praise God for his grace. Praise God that he made a way when we did not deserve a way. The fact that we have a way is the most beautiful news in the world. So if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus this morning, would you please surrender your life to this great God? He loves you so much that he saw you in all of your sin, all of your rebellion, all of your filth, and he sent Jesus, perfect, blameless, no sin, and he claimed every ounce of your sin as his own. And he died the death that you deserved on the cross. But 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. We are witnesses of this. He rose from the dead so that you could have new life. He did not come to condemn. He came to save. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, would you please surrender your life this morning? And the challenge is for those of us, we have surrendered, but maybe you're in this room, and if you just sit back, you think for a moment, you think about all the people you come in contact with on a daily basis. You think of all the people that you see, that you know are sitting in their condemnation, and you are not being obedient to the Holy Spirit to just proclaim that you've witnessed this resurrection. Listen, if that's you this morning, my challenge to you right now, my invitation to you is you've got to repent. Do you see that Jesus is that good? Do you see? I mean, look at what he's done for you. Make a commitment this morning that when I see these people, I'm going to pray for a boldness that comes only from the resurrection power that rose Jesus. And I'm going to have these conversations. I'm going to start talking with my friends, talking with my family members, asking them questions to lead and steer these conversations to the person of Christ Jesus. Will you dedicate yourself to that this morning? There's too much at stake for us to not. We cannot agree or disagree on this, okay? You are empowered by the same power that rose Jesus. What are you afraid of? Let's go as a sent people, church. I'm going to ask the counselors to go ahead and make their way up here to the altar, to the front of the stage. If you are in this room, you need to surrender your life to Jesus. Come pray. Come talk with one of our counselors. Please, just confess your need for the Savior. They will pray with you. They will lead you. They'll be with you through this process. If you just need to come in, you just need prayer, you realize, like, I've been living a life where this is an agree to disagree issue. You need prayer and repentance. Come and pray. You don't even have to come to the counselors. Just come and kneel at the altar. Just pray before the Lord. Confess. and let the grace of Jesus wash over you and know the power that sends you. We are a sent people, church. And he is just that good. Let's walk out of here today saying, I'm unable to speak of anything else. Let's stand. Band's going to lead us. We're going to continue in our worship. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come.